Okay, we're on page 998. Last week we learned the first pasuk. Today we'll start the second pasuk.
Divine pasuk.
Okay.
Making good time.
Yeah. What's the rush? Okay, so the pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm giving you today bracha uklola, right? Blessing and cursing. We discussed last week. Everything comes from Hashem. The reason why Hashem made evil was for the sake of good. Therefore, evil is not really evil. Curse is not really a curse. It's really a hidden bracha and so on. But then the pasuk continues, says like this. Esa bracha, the bracha, asher tishma mitzvah Hashem alakechem. Simply it means that you listen. Asher means that you will listen, or like when you will listen. A mitzvah Hashem alakechem, to the mitzvahs of Hashem, shanechim etzaves chameim, that I'm commanding you today. I just want to start the next pasuk. Va'klol and the curse im leisishmo mitzvah Hashem alakechem. Okay, so the Torah is saying like this: the bracha will come simply. The simple meaning is the blessing will come when you listen to the voice of Hashem. The curse will come when you don't listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Okay, now if you notice by the bracha it says es habracha. But by the next word, vaklola, in the next, it doesn't say esaklola. It just says vaklola in the curse. Why by bracha does he add the word esabracha, and by klola he doesn't? So we know, the Mefarshim explained this, in Chumash, the Gemara says, whenever you have the word es, it's inclusive. Because many times in Hebrew, the word es technically is an extra word. I'll give you an example. Starting from the beginning of Chumash. Bereishis bara lekim, es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz. The Torah could have said, Bereishis bara lekim, ha-shamayim ve-ha-aretz, and it would be exactly the same thing. So the Gemara says, one of the tzaddikim of the Gemara, I think it was Rabbi Lozer, if I'm not mistaken, he said, whenever the Torah uses the word es, it includes something. It includes something. So, for instance, what does it mean? Es ha-shamayim? Not only the heaven, but everything in the heaven. Es ha-aretz means the earth and everything in the earth. And the Gemara says he did like this the whole Torah. He came to a pasuk that says, Es ha-shem alakecha tira, you should fear Hashem. He stopped. He said, what am I going to include then? And he said, therefore, everything I made up until now is wrong. So Rabbi Kiva said to him, who was his colleague, Rabbi Kiva said to him, no. Es Hashem alakecha tira, what does the word es include? Scholars. Not only should you fear God, you should fear scholars. But we see that whenever the Torah uses the word es, it's inclusive. So Mefarshim explained like this. When it says es habracha, it means God gives a bracha with abundance. Es includes. It's an abundant of a bracha. Vaklola, it's only bare minimum. And that's even when God punishes a Jew, even when God curses a Jew, even when God, you know, it's bare minimum. Bracha, when Hashem gives a blessing, He gives it with abundance. And therefore, the Mefarshim explained, it says, Es HaBracha. Another thing the commentaries explain, Es is Aleph to Tav. From the first letter to the last letter. When it comes to bracha, in fact, as we say this in the Yom Kippur davening, we go through the whole Aleph Beis. Should be Shnas Ora, Shnas Bracha, Shnas Gila, and Ditzan, the whole Aleph Beis. So it says the bracha should be from Aleph to Tav. The blessing includes everything from any good blessing from Aleph Beis Gimel all the way through Tav should be a bracha. Now, what does it mean, Asher Nechem Etzaves Chamayim, that I'm commanding you today? Now, it says like this. What does it mean, I'm commanding you today? Like we learned already in the past, every day it has to be like it's a brand new Torah. Every day when the Jew does a mitzvah, puts on tefillin, lights Shabbos candles, learns, does any mitzvah, no matter what it is. It has to be in your eyes like it's brand new. That meaning with excitement, like people when they do things for the first time, they get very excited. So it says, Asher Nechem Etzaves Chamayim. Now, how does a person get to that level? It's, you know, if you're 50 years old and you're putting on tefillin every day since bar mitzvah, or you're 50 years old and you're lighting Shabbos candles every single week. I mean, come on, it could get a little boring after a while. It's not the same as you were bar mitzvah the first time and lit Shabbos candles. But the answer is, that's only if a person is within the framework of time. If a person reaches a level of godliness which is above time, then there's no past, present, or future. It's all the same. Something you're exciting, you have to recreate, rejuvenate the mitzvahs in a way that every day it becomes a new excitement, a new thing, a deeper meaning that you found in it, a deeper way of doing it. And that's why it says, Asher Neichem Etzavetzchem Ayoyim, all over in Chumash, that I'm commanding you today, a person has to feel that it's mamish today. What's, by the way, other mefarshim say another just a cute interpretation of the pasuk. Simply, the pasuk means the bracha is when you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, then you'll get blessed. Some people say deeper meaning. As habracha, what is the biggest blessing? When you listen to God. What is the biggest curse? When you don't listen to God. Not that listening to God brings a bracha or the sinning brings the curse. It means is the biggest blessing a person can have
in and of itself.
In itself is listening to the way of God. Why? Because by about Torah it says, all the paths of Torah are sweet and all its roads are peace. Both paths are Rachel, its ways are dark and norm sweet, and all its paths are shalom, peace. The biggest blessing anybody can have is peace of mind. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says an expression, Ein Simcha, I don't know if it's a Gemara, it's a Chazal say, Ein Simcha Katoras Hasfekas. There's no greater joy than when doubts are solved.
When doubts are
solved. Solved. I mean, you don't have doubts anymore. You found a solution to the doubts. The biggest blessing, in fact, the Gemara uses the expression, Im Shalom Kan Hakol Kan. When there's peace, you have everything. You don't have peace, you don't have anything. The pasuk over here is teaching us the biggest blessing that a Jew can have is when they follow the ways of Torah. Why? Why is it following the ways of Torah? Very simple. A person who follows the ways of Torah, their life is clear. They know their purpose. They know their objective. They know their goal. They know what they have to be doing. They know what the mission is, how to do it, when to do it, why to do it. No. That itself is a big blessing.
No doubt.
There are no doubts. You know exactly what to do. And therefore, in the secular world, so to speak, everybody is somebody, should I do this, should I do that, should I do this? If for a Jew, should I do this or that? Look in Torah law. Torah law will tell you how to do it. Because it dictates the life of the person. So the Gemara, the Pasuk is saying, as a bracha, the bracha is, asher tishmu, when you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Va'akla, what's the biggest curse? It's like they say the expression, for a believer, there are no questions, and for an atheist, there's no answers. If you believe, there's no questions. It's God, and that's it. So whatever happens is from God, so it's good. If you don't believe, then there's no answers. Why would, you know? In other words, it's more logical to be a believer than to be a non-believer. Believe it or not. Because when you believe, and that's what the pasuk says, if you follow the mitzvahs of Hashem, that itself is the bracha. Va'aklolim le'isishma mitzvahs Hashem alekechem, v'sarta min aderech, and you're going to turn from the way, asher nechi mitzvah eschem ayim, that I'm commanding you. And what is he saying? Lo'lechavs to go, achere alekim acherim, to follow foreign gods, asher le'yidaitim that you didn't know about. Okay? So from here, Rashi quotes from the famous Gemara that the Torah seems to say like this. If you turn away mitzvahs and you go worship idols. To explain, what does this mean? If you worship idols, it's like you don't keep any commandments. If you deny idols, it's like you keep all the commandments. But again, idols doesn't mean bowing down to sticks and stones and structures or whatever. Sun and the moon. Anything that a person worships is Aveda Zara. And that denies really the existence of God. Okay, so then it says like this.
Not but
What?
In the first sentence is included second sentence. If you don't listen to the mitzvah, you get bad. Why you say the kalala? It doesn't need to do the second sentence.
Yeah.
So, why?
No!
You know, if you listen it, you get reward.
But the pasuk
if you don't
said,
listen it, you don't...
Yeah, but the first pasuk says, is saying, God gives you today bracha and klala. The first up pasuk, yeah? Hashem gives you bracha and klala. Hashem gives you good and evil. Now, Hashem is telling you, why did I make good? That you should listen to it. Why did I make evil? That you shouldn't listen to it. So the Torah is explaining clearly what is the purpose of good and bad.
If you're not going the right way, you're going the wrong way automatically.
No, there's no truth.
Automatically you're going the wrong way.
You know?
Yeah, but the Torah wants to say that if you do negative, it's worse than just neutral. Then it's automatically negative. And by the way, he said, turning away, he's teaching us over here that idol worshipping is equal to all the sins in the Torah. If you worship idols, it's like you'd sin completely, every single sin. So the Torah's not telling, yes, many times in Torah we learn Mikla Hein Atu Shmela, from the yes we know the no, and from the no we know the yes. But here the Torah is teaching us, because such a fundamental thing, the whole concept of free choice between good and evil, Hashem says, when you choose good, like it's going to say later, B'chai to B'chaim. You know, the Torah says later on, Hashem says, look, I gave before you today, Achaim, Satev v'Sarah, good and bad, Achaim v'Samavis, life and death, and then the Torah says, Bachar to Bachayim, you should choose life. So the sage said, which fool is going to choose death? I'm not talking about suicide, the person who's not mentally not sane. What the Torah has to tell me, I'm giving you life and death, and the Torah says, choose life. But the Torah is not talking us about choosing life of living. The Torah says, Torah is life, sins are death. And the Torah is teaching all of us, you need to choose the right from the wrong. That's life and death. It's not only physical life and death. The Torah is teaching us that the biggest curse a person can have is when you don't listen to the mitzvahs of Torah. Don't think, okay, maybe I won't get a bracha. But so what? It says no. In Lysish, if you don't listen, then you bring upon yourself not only punishment, not only punishment and reward, but actually peace and blessing and curse. What?
It says here that you did not know. What difference does it make if you know? You don't know.
Why does it say shalei yadaitem? Because you're not supposed to know. But it means that you're not supposed to. And they were coming into the land of Canaan with a new type of idols also.
But for us, I mean,
it's asher le'idaitem that you have no connection to.
No business.
No business even knowing about them. You know, it's interesting. This is not the source of it. But according to Jewish law, according to Torah law, it's biblically forbidden for a Jew to learn any other religion. In other words, if a guy takes a course in college, comparative religions, it's mamish transgression. Yeah. The Rebbe once spoke. I'm not saying you did. No, I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you, it's forbidden. A Jew can say, "Listen, I'd like to know about Christianity. I mean, so I'm not planning to keep it. But why can't I know about it?" It says, "Ashele yadaitim." You're not supposed to know that stuff. The Rebbe once spoke in Israel, and the Rebbe wanted that Yisrael should be done correctly according to Torah. The minister of religion is called in Israel Sar HaDasot. Sar HaDatot, which is plural. And the Rebbe said that Aveda Zora, the name itself is idol worshipping, because for a Jew there's only one religion. What do you mean religions? There's no religions. There's one religion, Yiddishkeit. That's all it is. How does it call Sar HaDasot?
So you are against interview like Christian and Jewish?
According to Torah, you're not supposed to have
debates. Debate?
Daily Yisroel, there were a few. But the time of Tesis, of Yechilmi Parish, there were certain great, great tzaddikim. Because of the demand of the government, they had debates with other religions. Yes, yes. But according to Allah, if somebody asks, I get this call a lot. Am I allowed to have a panel with priests and this to discuss different religions? The answer is no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. It's forbidden according to Allah to do it.
What about the judges that sometimes rabbis sit down and they discuss the way that the Jewish way is done, and then they may express at that point that something that maybe the other religion would bring. I mean, I'm talking about the...
Sometimes if it's a concept of Torah, like the difference, a guy is allowed to believe in sheet of partnership, a Jew is not, but not, a Jew is forbidden, there's not the source, there are other sources in Torah, that a Jew is not allowed to learn any other religion. Even if they're not afraid that they're going to become, God forbid, drawn into it, first of all, you don't know. How do we know? Can't guard yourself. It's impossible for a person to know. There are a few exceptional people that were given permission by great tzaddikim to do it. Like if anti-missionary works, they had to understand what they were, what to fight. The big Besdin, the Sanhedrin of 71, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, right? So it said they had to know a little bit about other religions, because if a Jew came and worshipped idols, they had to know what, if they worshipped idols or did other religions or not. So the Besdin had to know what it was. But that was exceptional people. Like this, a Jew should not be learning other religions.
What about those debates between priests and rabbis, if it helps confuse Jews to, you know, clarify their... You know,
the fact is, it doesn't help any. If anything, it could influence a Jew in a negative way. Oh, the priest had a nice concept, you know, you don't do it.
Yeah, the answer is actually right here, in my opinion, is that when it says the atheist, there is no answer. Whatever you say, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. A lot of these cults, by the way, there's no logic. You could talk to them logically why they're wrong, but I still believe it doesn't matter. You know, it's anyway, by the way, just according to Torah, it's forbidden to debate other religions. Okay, Pasuk Chavtes. Okay, so bottom line is, the bracha itself is when you listen to Hashem, then you have a decent, proper life, no doubts. The curse is when you don't listen to Hashem and you start worshipping other gods. Okay, Pasuk Chavtes. V'hoye kiviyach Hashem alakecha, it will be when God will bring you ala artist to the land, ashrata v'asham alarishta, where you're coming to inherit. There's a whole procedure done later on in Chumash. There were two mountains next to Shechem. Okay? Exactly where it was is an argument in the Gemara. But basically, there were the Kohanim in the middle, and there were people on top. And they looked to this mountain that he cursed. They looked to this mountain to give the blessings. So it says, when you come to the land, you're going to put the bracha on Har Gerizim. That's Haklola and Har Evel, and the curses on the mountain of Evel. And then the Torah says, where are they? Haleihema, are they not? Be'ever Hayarden, on the other side of the Jordan. Achri Derech Mevei HaShemesh, in the direction of the sunset, meaning on the western side. Be'eretz HaKnani, in the land of Knan. Hayeshe Ba'arova, which details in the plains. Mula Gilgal, opposite Gilgal. Eitzel Elena Meira, near the mountain of Meira. These are just places to tell us where these mountains are, and what is the bracha, what is the reason for that, okay? Now, why does the Torah have to give us so many details where these mountains are? Mm. It says, where are they? It says, Be'eret, Be'eret Yarden, after Mevei Hashem, and the land of Canaan. It's five directions, GPSs, to know where the mountain is. So the Mefarshim explained, because after Aaron HaKohen passed away, the clouds of glory that directed the Jews left. So therefore, they didn't know exactly where they were. In fact, the Mefarshim say like this, if you look at the words, Haloi, Hema, Be'ever, Hayarden, those words, take the last letter of each word. Haloi is an Aleph, Hema is a Hey, Ever a Resh, Yarden is a Nun, that spells Aaron. It says, why is the Torah giving you the GPS of where these places are? Because Aaron passed away. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they were in the clouds, not leading, the no more clouds leading the Jews. So they needed to know exactly what it was. Okay? So it says like this. Ki atam evinim asayardein, because you're going over the Jordan River. Lave l'reshes is the artist to inherit the land. Asher Hashem Elokeichem Nosein Lachem, that God is giving you. V'yirish t'maisi, you should inherit it. V'yishavtem bo, and you should dwell in the land. In other words, inhabit the land. Now, why is Hashem telling again the Jews are going to go into the... We know this already. So he says like this. It says that they're going to go straight through miracles. In other words, when the Jews crossed the Jordan, was also a miracle. It split and the Jews went through. So the same thing, the 31... there are seven nations, but there are 31 kings, the Medrash says, in Eretz Yisrael, in Canaan. So there was a miracle that they all became destroyed right away. Okay? But the Torah teaches like this. V'irish t'maisa, you should inherit it. V'yishav t'mbo, and you should live in it. What does it mean? You should be part of the land. In other words, you know, sometimes you could be in a community, but you're not there. Normally it's brought down like this. If a person is in a community, one of two things happen. Either you affect them, or they affect you. Okay? That's one of the two. Therefore, the Rambam writes, for instance, you're not allowed to live in a neighborhood of bad people, because it's definitely going to influence you. Unless, if the purpose of you going there is for you to influence them. But sometimes, if you go and nothing of the two happen, you don't influence them, and they don't influence you, it means you're not there. You might be superficially living there, but you're not in the community. Here the Torah speaks about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. V'yirishtem, you should inherit it. V'yishavtem bo, and you should dwell in it, meaning it should become yours. What does it mean, V'yirishtem Eisa? Eretz Yisrael is the inheritance of the Jewish people. Okay, that means if you're a Jew, you own land in Eretz Yisrael. It's our land. Which means that no Jew has a right to give it away, no matter who the government is. No Jew, because it's not his to give away. It belongs to the Jewish nation. And nobody can speak for the Jewish nation. So the nation owns the land. It's theirs. It's inheritance. Meaning, even if you don't know about it, like the law of inheritance, if a father dies and the child inherits, even if they don't even know anything about the father, a newborn baby, like we said, they still inherit everything. Eretz Yisrael belongs as a Yerusha, as an eternal inheritance to the Jewish people, and nobody has a right to give it away. And therefore the Torah says, V'yishavtem bo, dwell the land, occupy the land, that nobody can come and drive you out of it. I mean, this pertains like even today, so to speak. Look, we know, the Gedolei Yisrael said the Jews shouldn't occupy the land, move in, build, live there, and then there won't be any question about giving land back.
Not every rabbi, not every Gedolei Yisrael.
Yeah, I know. But they say you give it back for the sake of peace. But there's no peace when you give back land, because whatever you give back, they want more.
Even for the sake of peace, you're not allowed to.
No, people. No. It's because it's bikuach nefesh. There's a din in Hilchos Shabbos. The Rebbe quoted this din when he spoke about not giving back land. There's a din that you can't desecrate Shabbos, right? What happens if goyim come on Shabbos? So if the only coming was called al iske kashvet tevin. The only coming to steal things, you're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos. For money, you can't desecrate Shabbos. If they're coming to kill, then obviously you have to go kill them first. And then it says, what happens if you're a port city? It's Tashin Chonor, in Hilchos Shabbos. What happens if you're a port city? You're mamish by the border. Even if they come for kashvet tevin, for stupid things. It says on Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch says, from the Gemara, that you have to go out on Shabbos and desecrate Shabbos and fight them. Why? Because it says the reason. Because as soon as a port city is taken, the whole land opens up. The whole land opens up. I don't want to get into the story now of Eretz Yisrael with the territories. The whole Eretz Yisrael today, any land that you give back to the Arabs, is opening up the danger to the whole Eretz Yisrael. You know,
especially when experience proves it.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. The facts is that the experience proves it. And not only that, according to Halacha says you have to ask the experts in the field. For instance, If you want to know if somebody needs to eat on Yom Kippur or not, or somebody needs to desecrate Shabbos for medical procedure, yeah? You don't ask politicians, you don't ask gardeners, you don't ask lawyers, you ask doctors. And the doctor decides if it's pikuach nefesh, if it's life endangering or not. That's simple seichel. When you're talking about security, who do you ask? The army people, not the politicians. The army people are there. They know. They know security. Politicians are afraid of what Washington says and England says and Moscow says. So the Rebbe said, every one of the generals, I don't want to get, we're just going to say then that's it. Every one of the generals said, you're not allowed to give back any land. Every one of the generals.
At that time.
At that time, all the times. The politicians were the ones that said, Washington might do this, what are you going to do, Washington? So, but halachically, you don't ask a politician if you should eat on Yom Kippur, not ask a doctor. You don't ask a politician about security, bitochon, because bitochon is up to the anshi chayil, the soldiers, anshi the tzava, is the ones that are experts. Okay, but that's it. But this is what the Torah says, v'yirishtam, it's your inheritance, v'yishavtam, you have to dwell in it, and then it says like this, u'shmartam la'aseis, you should
establish.
I'm looking. No, I lost my place. Ushmartim lasi should be careful to perform es kol achukim es hamishpatim, all the logical mitzvahs, all the illogical mitzvahs, asher anochi neitzav lifneichem hayom, that I'm giving you today, that I'm commanding you today. In other words, the Torah says the fact that the miracles happen when you cross the Jordan shows that you're going to be able to inherit the land, but you need to keep the mitzvahs. Why? There's a what?
So the fact that, let's say, the Jewish people had to leave Israel for the destruction of the first temple, that doesn't affect the fact that we inherit the land, so to speak, till
correct
today.
Sure, okay. It's our land.
So it's not
Bris Eilam. The Torah says that it gave you Bris Eilam forever.
And it's not dependent on if the people, for whatever reason, didn't do the mitzvahs.
No, it says, that's, I'm just saying the text now. There's a pasuk in Chumash a few times, it says, V'leisaki ha'aretz eschem, v'tam'achem eiso, kasher ko'o esagoya shelefneichem. In Hebrew, heiki is when you vomit, you throw up. The Torah says, V'leisaki ha'aretz eschem, the earth should not, pardon the expression, vomit you up, or throw you out, when you impurify the land. So Rashi explains over there in Chumash, in Vayikra, it means like this. When you have a very delicate stomach, you can't eat coarse food. You're going to get sick and then throw up. A delicate stomach needs delicate food. A coarse stomach can have coarse food. The Torah says, Israel is such a refined, holy land, it doesn't tolerate impurity. And therefore, if you impurify the land, the Torah says, the land can't handle it. It's going to throw up. Is going to throw you out of the land. But even when Eretz Yisrael, the Jews are thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, the land still belongs to us. It's still our tzeinu, it's still our land.
Rabbi,
You
know, this whole concept of calling these people Palestinians is a more of a political name on them, because what's the history of these people being
the Arabs?
Once we were like kicked out of here, then the people that lived in Israel, just historically, who are the people that have lived in there?
There are always Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. The question, how many? I mean, even Turkish rule, throughout history, Jews were in Eretz Yisrael. Not by the masses, they didn't have control over the land. They weren't allowed to visit Tarabayis, they weren't allowed to go, you know, but the land of Eretz Yisrael, the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jews.
And always, Jews anyway, lived throughout the history of...
Always lived in Israel. The question is, how many and what control they had?
Which?
You know, the whole...
It's Palestinian name.
The whole issue... You know, there are people that are against the Haredim, okay? The Satman, the Torah Karta, those people, are all against the Jews being in Israel. In their Jewish state and everything, right? They're all against the thing. They're not against the land. The land is Eretz Yisrael. But they're against. And they base it on a Gemara that says God made three oaths, and one of them, Vayalu Bachem, and they cannot go up and to conquer the land, and so on and so forth. So the Itayin, until Mashiach comes, you're not allowed to conquer the land, is that they made the state in 48, is against Torah and against the whole thing. But the Rebbe explained that what the Gemara says is you can't go fight to get, but Moshe in 67,
they
were fighting us. The Jews never dreamt of getting Yerushalayim and all the West Bank and everything.
They didn't want it.
No, well, that's the problem. The Jews didn't want it.
They want it, but they cannot.
But it was a God-given gift. It's not that you're going to fight to get the land.
And the three promises were nullified by that. Because I heard that at some...
Okay, that's a whole debate in itself about
so
the Yimushwas. I'm saying, but the truth is, even if you say it means you can't go fight to get the land, but L'Perl Hashem gave it to us, it's a whole different story.
The second Beit HaMikdash, any Jews left over there, or everybody go to the bubble?
Most Jews, no.
In the first.
First they went to bubble.
Everybody, no Jews left
no,
there?
No, most of the Jews were out. Then most of the Jews came back. Not all the Jews came back. Some stayed in bubble. Okay, you have to keep all the chukim mishpatim. Now, what does it mean? The question is, you can't keep all the mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs are, let's say, only in this place. So it says, they bring down an interesting interpretation. There's a pasuk in Vayeshev, it says, Va'aviv shamar asadavar. You know, when Yosef coming with the dreams, everybody's going to bow to him. So it says, Ve'ikanu be'echov, his brothers were hated and jealous of him, Va'aviv shamar asadavar. And Rashi says, what does it mean, Shamar Adavar? He was waiting and anticipating for it to happen. Okay. That's what Rashi says, Shamar Adavar. Means he was he's anticipating. So they say, Ushmartem Laseis, as Kol HaChukim as HaMishpatim. He said, even those mitzvahs that we can't do. Like now, we don't live in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, yeah? So all the mitzvahs, this year, Shemitah, you have Truma and Maaser, all the mitzvahs that you can only do in Eretz Yisrael, yeah? So how could we keep all the mitzvahs? We can't. A lot of mitzvahs apply to the Beis HaMikdash, sacrifices. Yeah, from the 613, there's something like 200 mitzvahs we can keep today. From the 613. So what do you mean keeping all the mitzvahs? It says, "Es kol achukim es mishpatim." So they explain, "Ushmartem" means you should anticipate and wait. When will it be that I can keep all the mitzvahs? In other words, are we trying to get out of mitzvahs, or are we trying to get more mitzvahs? That's the whole different attitude of Judaism. A religious Jew, give me more. A non-religious Jew, or a person who's happy with status quo, you know, take away, whatever you could take away would be good. Make it less. It's like you're carrying diamonds, and say somebody said, let me give you some more. So you can say, of course, give me more. But if you're carrying lead... Yeah, you're carrying bricks. And the guy said, let me give you some more. You can go fight kite. I'm not interested. So if Yiddishkeit is diamonds, you want more. If it's Yiddishkeit bricks, you give me less. So the pasuk says, Shmartem Laseis, you should anticipate to want to keep as kol achukim, even the mitzvahs you can't keep. But Hashem says, the fact that you desire to do them and you want to do them and you're waiting to do them, Hashem said, I'll consider it as if you did it. Because the fact that we can't do it, right? Because we live here, we don't live in the Beis HaMikdash or whatever. But the fact that we want to do what Hashem says, I'll consider it as if you did it. Okay, Ela Chukim HaMishpatim. These are, okay, the decrees and the ordinance, meaning the illogical mitzvahs, the logical mitzvahs. Asher Tishmu Laseis, that you should guard to keep. Ba'aretz in the land. Asher Hashem Alekecha. Hashem, the God of your fathers, gave you the chol rishta as inheritance, kol hayomim, all the days, asher atem chayim alo adama, that you're living on the world. Okay? So, now, the question is, seemingly, there's another issue the commentaries ask. The pasuk says, you should keep the mitzvahs, ba'aretz in the land that Hashem is giving you. Which implies, outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to keep any mitzvahs. What is Pasuk Aleph saying? Yeah? These are the mitzvahs that God is giving you to keep in the land that Hashem gave you.
Yeah.
So it implies that outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not true. Okay? Now, it means, so the commentators explain that's not what it means. It depends what type of mitzvah. In other words, like this. Mitzvahs that have to do with the land, that you can only do in Israel.
Exactly.
Mitzvahs have to do with you as a person, those apply anywhere. And that's why the Torah says, Ba'aretz, in the earthly mitzvahs that have to do with the land, like sabbatical year, truma, maisa, you know, the tithing and all that, that the Torah says, that has to do with the land, that's the land that the only in Eretz Yisrael. But when a mitzvah is connected to the body of the Jew, that applies everywhere.
The fruit of the land is not included land?
The fruit of the land is land.
So
that's why you don't separate truma and maisa here.
Why you shouldn't say bracha here for the fruit?
No. Go.
Not here.
Okay. No, the bracha is the benefit. The bracha, first that's rabbinic. But secondly, that's a bracha thanking Hashem for what He gives us. It's not the mitzvah that has to do with the fruit.
Not mitzvah to say bracha?
Yeah, that's because you're getting enjoyment. The mitzvah of truma, maisa, all that, has to do with the land itself, nothing to do with your enjoyment. When I give 10% to the Levium, or 2% to the Kohanim for truma, right? That's not my enjoyment. That's a mitzvah of the land, the fruit. When I take a fruit here and I eat it, the mitzvah is not for the fruit. The mitzvah is I cannot benefit and enjoy world without thanking Hashem. It's nothing to do with the fruit. It doesn't have to be the fruit. It could be anything.
So this comes from the land.
It's not the bracha because of the land. It's a bracha because you're enjoying something that Hashem made. You need to say thank you. It's not to do with the land. It could be a piece of meat. It could be an egg. It could be whatever. Smelling something. There's nothing to do with the land. The mitzvahs, kliyas, ba'aretz, are only shaykh and Eretz Yisrael. But the mitzvahs that are on the body, everywhere. There's few exceptions with that rabbinic mitzvahs, like Arla, the first 3 years, that applies even chutz, but that's rabbinic, not biblical.
3 years fruit.
That's why there's a big difference between Eretz Yisrael and Arla and Chutz Laretz Arla, because in Eretz Yisrael, because it's a biblical law of Arla, you're not allowed to eat any fruit unless you know for sure it's not Arla the first 3 years. Therefore, it's always a Noki Mechshash Tevel and Arla, because in Eretz Yisrael, because it's a biblical mitzvah of the first 3 years not eating the fruit, biblical doubt, you have to be strict. So you just can't go and buy fruit in Israel assuming that it's not Arla. Even though, by the way, most of the fruit is not Arla. I mean, most of the fruit is not from the first 3 years, right? Nevertheless, you have to be strict because it's biblical. Outside of Israel, the din is you can go into any supermarket, any fruit store and buy fruit. Why? Maybe it's Arla. Maybe it's Arla. The answer is, Safek Arla b'chutz la'aretz is mutter. Why? Because it's a rabbinic doubt. Rabbinic doubt is lenient.
You're talking about fruit that comes from Israel.
No. Fruit that comes from Israel, you have to be careful. You have to accept truma, maisa, you have to be careful, shmita. A lady called me today. She bought beets in Costco from Israel. Could be a shalosh shmita this year. You have to know, if it doesn't have a hechsher, fruits and vegetables in Israel, Shemitah year is very difficult getting fruits and vegetables that are kosher, so to speak, not Shemitah.
But is it your obligation? Like, say, if it doesn't say where the beets are from, are you supposed to try to find out when you buy fruits and vegetables here?
No, unless you know for sure it's Israel.
But you don't have to go.
Because majority of fruits don't come from Israel. Instead, there's a din, you go according to the majority. Most fruit doesn't come from Israel. What?
Yashan? How about Yashan?
Yashan is a separate, there's nothing, there's also Chadim and Rabbanan, according to most opinions. So it's a whole different story. The same thing, like Arla, no?
It should be in Israel, this
Yashan. I don't know, the Chassidic world, they're not careful with it, whatever.
It says here, you could argue this with Kol Hayomim Ashatim Chayim Al Adama.
Right.
All the days, wherever you live on the Adama, on earth, You should get them, you know, keep them mitzvah.
Okay, so that's the question. What does Adam over here mean? Okay? No. So that's why some of us learn that the fact that by the other mitzvah says Atam Chayim Alo Adama refers that even outside of Eretz, because it's the earth, not Eretz. Eretz is Eretz Yisrael, right? But they said, but certain mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael even today. So that's what he's saying. A mitzvah which is connected to the land is only in, then it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. If it's on the body of the person, like putting on tefillin, tzitzit, shop or whatever, then it doesn't apply to anybody else. Okay. Now, there's a job the Jews have to do when they get into Eretz Yisrael. It says, Abi Tabdun, okay, destroy you should destroy, and I'll explain the double expression in a second. Eskala Mekemes, Eshe'ovdu Shama Goyim, any of those places that the Goyim worshipped, it doesn't mean the land. I mean, you don't destroy the sun because people bow down to the sun. You don't destroy a mountain because Goyim, it means things that people made. That you're inheriting, you know, getting their worship, the land that the people worship the gods. On the high mountains, that's where they used to put their idols, on the high mountains, and on the hills, under any sacred leafy trees. That's where they used to put all those, their idols, in the various different places. Meaning, what the Pasuk is saying, and the Gemara says, it doesn't mean destroy the mountain. Mm. It says destroy the gods that are on the mountain. You don't destroy the mountain. In fact, the Gemara tells a story, a non-believer, I think it was Rabbi Gamliel, that they asked Rabbi Gamliel, if God doesn't want idol worshipping, why didn't he just destroy all the idols? If God's no big deal, destroy all the idols, what's the big deal? So Rabbi Gamliel said to him, okay, so let's analyze this. There are people that worship the sun, so God should destroy the sun. People worship the moon, destroy the moon. People worship the ground. So Rabbi Gamliel said, should God destroy the world because of the fools? If you're going to destroy everything that people worship, you're going to destroy the whole world. And God said, I don't work like that.
What about the church in the Yerushalayim?
What do you want to know? If
the
you
church,
should bomb
you should,
it?
You should bomb it, but the church or mosque? No, church. How come they leave the church there? If they did this order, you should do that.
Yeah, they should bomb it.
Huh?
The mosque and the Harabayas, yeah, they should do it.
Yeah,
but we don't have exactly the ability to do that today. We don't have the ability.
You can also spiritually destroy it.
Huh?
You can also spiritually destroy it.
Right.
Destroy the whole idea of Trinity and stuff like that.
No, what's that? But before we get into that, what does it mean, Abi Tabdun? Double expression, destroy, you should destroy. Okay, in the English it just says, you utterly destroy. What does it mean? The Gemara says, you need to destroy even the roots of it. The complete destruction. It's not enough, like they used to worship trees, and a shade was a tree they worshipped. It's not enough just to chop down the tree. You have to uproot the roots of it too. Rabbi Kiva said that anytime you see a high, why is the Torah telling us that idols are in a high mountain? I mean, wherever, the Torah should say, wherever the idols are, destroy it. Rabbi Kiva learned from this, that whenever one saw a high mountain, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, you should assume that there's an idol there. That's what the Torah is saying. Anytime you see it, in the time of the, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, you saw a high mountain, you should know there must be idols, because that's where they put idols. Why did they? Because then it's high up, it's respect, it's... No, but they had public idol worship.
They can't see it better?
No, they had private and they had public.
That must have been the giant statue?
Yeah, giant statues and... Yeah. But Rabbi Kiva said, if you see a mountain, even though you can't see on top of it, you can assume that there's an idol there.
Yeah.
They have this all over the place. I mean, you know, then the question is, what's idol places, what's not idol places? There are differences between Muslim and Christianity, Buddhism, There's a lot of different halachic things, what's considered idols, what's not considered idols, and what you have to destroy.
Isms.
Yeah, but it's, that's what, and only the isms. It's for instance, can a Jewish jeweler sell a cross, a necklace with a cross, a gold cross, and people buy a jewelry piece, yeah? It's not worship, it's not Avodah Zarah. If it's a church, you have a church and there's a cross inside the church that they bow down to, that's a concept of idol worshipping. You know, there's a lot of these things.
Yeah, you put
the difference between the actual room they worship in, like the sanctuary, or a social room, or an office. You know, the difference is halachically between all these different rooms, because if they don't pray in that room, that's not an idol worshipping room. Now, according to halacha, Christianity for a non-Jew is not Avodah Zarah. The Rambam holds it is, but most poskim say it's not. But for a Jew, it's considered idol worshipping. What?
Okay, so I don't know if this is controversial, but I noticed...
We only like controversial things.
I noticed at Cedars, they have what's called the worship room or whatever it's called when you pass by there on the plaza, right? And is that okay for a Jew, first of all, to daven there, knowing that other people come to pray at different times? And is it okay that they do that even?
The truth is a lot of Jews were not daven there.
Oh, they do.
I didn't say nobody.
No.
I said a lot of Jews were not daven in these multi-religious rooms. Some places, they have an Aron Kodesh on wheels, and then they take that out, and when the Christians come in, they put in the other, their things. It's not so simple. The fact that it's not only designated for one particular region makes it halachically easier. You know what I mean? But it's still not...
Even though there is nothing...
I mean, let me tell you something. Even within Judaism, and again, we don't classify Jews, we hate classifying Jews, but there's a letter from the previous Rebbe, it's printed in the back of the tilim. If you have a regular tilim, you turn the back, there's a letter printed there. Somebody asked him about davening in a Reformed temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He says, in Yiddish, the letter is in Yiddish, he said, in a Reformed temple, you're not allowed to say any Dovr Sheba Kedusha. You're not allowed to say, I'm talking about the sanctuary, not the side rooms. Right? You're not allowed to say any Amen, no Kedusha, no Baruchu. And he says, any Jew that says a Dovah Sheba Kedusha in a Reformed temple brings evil upon himself.
Yeah.
That's what he writes there. Does this apply to conservative? It's questionable, debatable, mm-hmm. whatever. But he writes clearly about... I wonder if they translated the letters in the back in Hebrew. No, they didn't. He writes like this.
So if you go in some places, not you only one reform from the city, can I go there?
No.
I can bring them to you, cannot even pray.
They change things around.
They are gray color. Yeah, they are not black and white. They are gray. That's the problem. It's gray is problem.
Oh. I bet you they. One second. Oh, here. I'm looking at the letter and I just went by it. Okay. To answer your question, he says like this. I'm translating from the Yiddish. Any Reform temple, you're not allowed to daven. You're not allowed to say Baruch Hu Kedusha and answering Amen. The Yiddish Yid, the Jew, was davened in a Reform shul. The daven's in a Reform temple. Sitav Zecharuv de Tuma. He brings upon himself impurity and his Mesiv Chayis in Tuma. And he adds power to evil.
But they are Arab Jewish more than any religion.
They're Jews, I understand, but the fact that they...
everybody...
That's what I'm saying. We all love all Jews. That's why we don't classify Jews.
So.
Just the temples. Just the organization. Yeah. No, the Jews are Jews and Jews.
But they have a good heart. They have very good heart.
They're wonderful people.
But they are not religious.
Okay, so...
So.
Can you use them as a witness?
Can you?
No.
You can't?
No.
That's for Shabbat.
Okay. Are they wonderful Jews? Sure they're wonderful Jews. Can you use a brother for a witness? No. He's a relative. Is he a wonderful guy? You can't use your mother-in-law. Yeah. Now, is she a wonderful person? Of course, the best person in the world, the mother-in-law. But she's still not a kosher witness.
But we have to look him nice. You know?
100%. We're talking about the movement. We're not talking about the people. We're talking about the sheet, the philosophy of the movement is treif. The Rebbe once said that the word reform, the previous Rebbe said, the word reform, not the word reform means to change. That means you're automatically saying, if Torah is from God, if you believe Torah is from God, you can't change it. What are you changing? The actual name reform means you're saying it's not authentic. Yeah. If you're saying you're changing it, that itself shows it's not authentic. So this is what the Torah says. You have to destroy all the idols. By the way, in a personal level, there's idols within us too. Things we worship.
iPhone.
The things we worship are our personal idols. So the Torah says you got to destroy them. Uproot them.
Utterly.
No, in a spiritual sense, you have to uproot the addiction and worshiping of allowing something to control you. That's the definition of worshiping, by the way. Or addiction. It's when something else controls you. As long as you control something, you're not worshipping it. Worshipping it is when you allow it to control you. And that, the Torah says, you have to destroy it. And not only that, v'meditatzim es mizbechesam, pasuk gimel. Yeah? You have to break apart their altars. V'shibarta es matzeveisam, you have to break the pillars. And Rashi says, matzev is one stone, and mizbeach, altar, means many stones. Just different types of, you know, mizbeach, altar is composed of many stones, matzev is one stone. The sacred trees you have to burn. The gadeon and the carved images you cut down. You have to erase the name in Amokimahu from that place. Meaning, you have to make sure that there's nothing left from these idols. There's absolutely nothing left from them at all. What?
With someone who is
all
the idol worshiper.
It says in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoreh Day, it says like this. 3 days before the Goyish holiday, you're not allowed to do business with them. 3 days after the holiday, you're not allowed to do business with them. Which means, if Sunday is, Sunday is the day they worship, so you can't do business Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay. But today, Shulchan Aruch talks about this, but today, again, if Christianity is not Aveidah Zorah, so then it's not called Aveidah Zorah for them, so it's not for me. Bottom line is, today you can do business. With actual idol worshippers, might be a halachic question doing business with them. It might be. I'm not saying. Then the close on America. If you can't do business with China, somebody once told a kid, "God made the world." He says, "No, it's made in China." Halacha talks about all these things. The halacha is today. Today you're lenient with all these types of things. Not because you can't. If you can't, you can't. Yeah. Halacha says it doesn't have the same din like years ago. What?
It says, for example, here, Rebatim et Shemalek, destroy the name. What about the name of a city? Like if it was named after a... should you reform it, rechange it to something else?
That refers to when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. I'll give you an example. Do you know there's a city in New Zealand? You know what it's called? The Jews call it Chichich. But the city in New Zealand, I was there. I was in that city. It's called Christchurch.
Christchurch.
No, it's not Auckland. Auckland's a town.
Christchurch.
Yeah, that's the name of the city. The Jews call it Chichich. But that's the name of a city.
No, but for example, the land of Israel, whose name
in the land of Israel in those days, they had an obligation to destroy the name. Yeah. Meaning, the Rashi says you're not allowed to know them by name. Rashi says, "Lechanus them shem legnai." You have to call it a despicable name instead of a proper name. Rashi gives an example. There was a place called Beis Galia, so they called it Beis Karia. Derogatory nicknames they would give it to. They would give the name derogatory. But the Jews had an obligation not to even use. You know, there's a pasuk, "Shema lekim achem leisaskiru." You're not allowed to mention other gods, except gods that the Torah mentions. The Gemara says, you're not allowed, there's a puzzle that says, V'shem elokim achein le'sizkiru, okay, you're not allowed to mention other names. So the Gemara asks, but there's names of idols in the Torah. There's a lot of idols that the Torah speaks about, and the Gemara says that the names that the Torah mentions, you're allowed. But you know, according to Halacha, you can't tell a Jew, meet me across the street from the church. You can't use a church as a landmark.
Well, for example, like Monday was the day of the moon. That's why they were, so you can't.
Yeah, but I said the moon.
They worshipped it. There's a specific day for the moon. You can't.
Yeah.
Yom Shem.
Okay.